We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, excitement in our audience because we have our four regular and most experienced players of Just a Minute competing once more, all on their mettle and eager to go as they try and speak for the minute without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject that I will give them. And let's begin the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, are you ready?
Yes, I'm
good.
Ready.
Kenneth, the subject is sparkle. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Sparkle is provided in conversation by the kind of elan and enchanting lilt that I give to my kind of speech. I am known as a wit. I am, of course, a cult. And a witty poet once said, Eastern princesses in acids, milk, or a perfumed bath will frolic, but give me a girl who will sit in a tub and do what she can with carbolic. This is something I think adds sparkle to our everyday lives and lubricates, so to speak, the ordinary commercial business of intercourse. We all want, don't we, a little bit of a giggle, a little entertainment, to be diverted from this veil of tears, which we travel to death as through life sleep to such the grave.
Oh, Derek Nimmer has challenged you after 55 seconds. Derek,
that's clever. Coming in
55 seconds.
Ah, that is clever. Yes, he's up to his old tricks. He's got that from Freud.
Yes.
He's that from clever.
They let you do all the hard work in and come in a
few
seconds.
Right, that's right.
Anyway,
you're
Derek,
on to it, Nick.
What is your challenge?
Oh, well, I've rather forgot. Deviation, because
what?
I thought we'd gone into the veil of tears rather than actually sparkling at that point.
But yes, I know, I thought he was making his point very clearly that because, you know, to get out of the veil of tears, one needs that sparkle in life. And I really felt he brought this in as a contrast.
Well, I'm very sorry, Mr. Williams. I do beg your pardon for interrupting.
Well, I accept... No, he's done it nice. I accept your apology, and I think that in a world as rude so often as ours is, that to see a bit of gallantry, a bit of good manners from an ancient Scottish family as his, Nimmo, Nimmo is an ancient Scottish name, is it not?
Kenneth.
Honourable lineage.
Well, save it for the show.
Most gracious of you, Kenneth, and thank you very much.
Very nice.
Very, very kind.
Yes, now, let's get back to just a minute, because the fact he did interrupt you meant, because it was a wrong challenge, you get a point for that, as usual, and you continue with only 5 seconds to go on the subject of sparkle. Sparkle, starting now.
Sparkling water. One thinks immediately of Evian. Now that comes...
Owen, Ian Messiter blows his whistle. He tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains the extra point. And, of course, it was Kenneth Williams, who is the only one to have any points in that round, and, of course, has now a commanding lead. Derek Nimmo,
I'd just like to say hello to Clement before we go any further, so that people know we're both here, you know. How are you?
Would you like to respond, Clement?
I'd like to say hello straight back.
Good, fine.
The reason for our listeners at home he has to sit straight back is because they're both sitting either side of the studio, and I and Ian Messiter are sitting between.
No, that wasn't the reason at all.
But in case any listener was confused, I did have to explain it. This is radio. I know visual radio is very good, but most people listen with their eyes shut. Now, Derek, would you begin the next round? Derek, the subject is one of the seven deadly sins. Will you tell us something about one of those in just a minute, starting now?
One of the seven deadly sins. If I had to choose one of the seven deadly sins, and I think I'm about to, I would probably go for sloth, because if one was sufficiently slothful, it would seem to eradicate most of the others. For instance, pride, one would have very little time for. As for wrath, one could hardly be angry if one's lying in one's bed all the time. Envy probably would disappear in the same way. And obviously, lust wouldn't be much good, would it?
challenge.
Repetition of obviously.
Yes, obviously you would go for this, and obviously, what a pity, Derek, because we were enjoying it.
Well, I've just got up to lust. I thought I was about to enjoy it.
Really.
Well, Clement Freud gets a point and takes over the subject with 31 seconds on one of the seven deadly sins, starting now.
The best deadly sin, in my view, is gluttony. You eat and have more than you had before. You belch and you do all sorts of disgusting things because soup, fish, meat, sweet, puddings, lamb, beef, pork, crackling fat, gravy, and gluttony is...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of meat. Quite long...
He didn't say.
Long list of...
Did you repeat the word meat?
No, but he did repeat.
I thought he was... He didn't actually deviate within the game, so...
I see.
Clement, you have 9 seconds to continue on one of the seven deadly sins, starting now.
It's a marvellous feeling when you cannot consume any more than you have had. You are full... You are absolutely up to your...
Well, certainly if I'd been playing the game, I'd have challenged there, because I think it's a horrible feeling to be so full as that. I would call that deviation. I don't think it's a pleasant feeling. But Clement, you kept going till the whistle went. You gained an extra point for that, and others in the round gives you the lead now, one ahead of Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones. Will you begin the next round? The subject is being sincere when you don't mean it. Can you tell us something on that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, being sincere when you don't mean it is a contradiction in terms, because you can't possibly be. I, personally, am transparently and burningly, genuinely...
Derek Nimmochan.
Hesitation.
I think you did, actually.
You thought I hesitated?
Yes, I think so, yes. It was long enough to be called a hesitation in the game, I think. So Derek takes over the subject of being sincere when you don't mean it, with 47 seconds left, starting now.
I would like to be sincere when I don't mean it by describing Nicholas Parsons as being one of the intellectual giants of our age. There is a man with the mind of a 14-year-old child and a body which has gone off somewhat. He is the person which we all admire tremendously. Books have been written about him. Eons of praise have been spoken about this extraordinary person. And when we are privileged to sit here in this room and gaze upon the aforesaid German of this game, we all cheer with wonderment that we are privileged in 1984.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Privileged. Twice.
I know, but I enjoyed it. But I do have to be fair within the game. I'm always try and be as fair as I can. And he did repeat the word privilege. You're quite right, Clement. 6 seconds are left, Clement, for you on being sincere when you don't mean it, starting now.
It is a mark of insincerity of purpose to seek a high-born emperor in a low-down tea shop.
Clement Freud increased his lead at the end of that round, and it is also his turn to begin. Clement, the subject is strange laws. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
A law is only strange in the eye of the beholder. There are plenty of civil servants, those who do not write yours sincerely at the end of their letter, but put your obedient servant.
Kenneth Williams Chan.
No, I'm sorry, the finger slipped on the buzzer. It's one of those things. It's a, what do you call it? A reflex. It's a reflex.
Because you thought he was going to say yours again.
Well, no, it was a mistake. I just slipped on the buzzer, you see.
Kenneth, I don't know what you're talking about, but Clement has a point for being interrupted because you challenged, and he continues with strange laws, and there are 49 seconds left, starting now.
There was a 19th century law which made it illegal for people to give their servants salmon more than 5 times a week. At that time, this particular fish was so cheap and common that it was considered wrong to give people in your employ.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of people.
Well done, Peter. Yes, people. 32 seconds are left, Peter, for you on strange laws, starting now.
Yes, I can remember a law which forbade people to buy blades for razors which they were able to purchase on Sundays. And a number of anomalies like that have occurred down the years. We are very fortunate in this country that there are no really serious ridiculous laws, except perhaps the one that divides the...
Derek Challenge.
The hesitation.
Yes, the You actually seem beside him, so you can see the errs coming up before anybody else. There are 11 seconds left for Strange Laws with you, Derek, starting now.
Lord Strange of Knocking, who was a distinguished member of the Upper House, wanted to bring in the law so that criminals could be castrated instead of going to prison. They were given the choice. I thought that was a very strange law, but he had observed...
Derek Nimmo kept going till the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's now in second place behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud. Kenneth Williams in third place, and he also begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is Clerihues. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Clerihues are four line verses which take their name from Mr. Bentley. They're funny quatrains, and the person or subject has to be named in the first line. An example. Said Sir Christopher Wren, I'm going to dine with some men. If anyone calls, say I'm designing some pool. There you have a perfect example of...
Derek Nimmo, chap.
Tradition of example.
Yes, and you said at the beginning example of a Clerihue, and that was a perfect example. Bad luck, Kenneth, and the 26 seconds for Derek to take over Clerihue starting now.
Kenneth Williams is envied by millions who would like to share his spun gold hair. It's a very perfect example of a Clerihue. Clement Freud is always annoyed if everyone smokes, because he doesn't think it's a very good joke. Those are examples of Clerihues, as Mr. Williams has so rightly said.
Clement Freud's challenge.
To Mr. Williams.
You can't have too much of that, eh?
I'm afraid in just a minute you can, in the sense if you repeat it, that is one of the laws of the rules of the game. And with 2 seconds to go, Clement, you've got in on Clerihue starting now.
Clerihue is really a very unusual name.
So, Clement Freud's increased his lead, speaking again as the whistle went, getting the extra point, and Derek Nimmo takes the next round. Derek, the subject is Vesuvius. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Vesuvius is a volcano rather near to Naples in about 80 AD or some such time. It erupted in the most enormous and vast explosion, and we are so grateful to it because the resultant lava overflew Pompeii and, even more importantly, Herculaneum. And as a result of that, buried 30 feet in the black stuff that I was just talking about.
Peter Jones, a chap.
Hesitation.
Yes, well, as I was a bit sharp on you with it when Derek challenged for hesitation, this is only fair to say, yes, that was hesitation. So, Peter, you get the subject of Vesuvius with 35 seconds starting now.
Well, Vesuvius, the volcano, started with a mere hole in the ground or split in the surface of the earth. And it erupted, and it is now a huge mountain, which only goes to show if you persevere and keep going for century after each 100 years that passed, you are able to attain a height and a dignity and a fame also, which people go to see it from all over the world, and as they...
Kenneth Williams,
judge.
Yes, there was hesitation, and this time, Kenneth, you've got in with only 4.5 seconds to go on Vesuvius, starting now.
It also succeeded in blotting out not only Pompeii, but Oplonti as well, a much larger...
So they're all getting points, but also we're hearing from them from all, which is the most important thing. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is fallacies. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they're usually mistaken beliefs, often quite innocent. For example...
Yes, Derek.
Hesitation.
Derek. There are 54 seconds for you to talk about fallacies starting now.
Last Easter Sunday, I went to St. John's Cathedral in Hong Kong to morning service. And there, for the first time, the program...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. There are 45 seconds for fallacies with you, Clement, starting now.
Lowestoft is the largest town in the world. Skateboards are coming in again. Kenneth Williams runs a mile in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Those are the sort of fallacies which, if you uttered them in public, people would stretch their eyes and say, never.
Peter Jones is chunk.
Well, no, they're just plain lies. They're not fallacies which people, anybody, believes. Nobody believes that.
I'm not going to judge between a lie and a fallacy, not with this intelligent-looking audience sitting out in front. So I think what I will do is bow to your superior wisdom and judgment and let you be the final arbiters. Now, if you agree with Peter's challenge, then you cheer for him, and if you disagree, then you boo for Clement Freud, and you all do it together now. Either they're prejudiced for Peter, or they do believe that they lies. There is a distinguishing area between lies and fallacies, and they are with you, Peter. So you take over the subject with 26 seconds on fallacies, starting now.
Look after the pounds, and the pennies will take care of themselves, is something that I actually believe, though the reverse is normally spoken.
Derek, yes.
Yes,
it's a bogey. Well, yes. 16 seconds on fallacies with you, Derek, starting now.
And the bishop preached on Pharisees and the resurrection of the cross. But being chink, he said Pharisees and the resurrection of the cross, which threw me completely.
Yes, Clement, you challenge.
Helping him out.
I will
would
not
you,
comment.
Would you tell Mr. Freud that I don't need his assistance and give me another point, please?
Get a point because you were interrupted and you have 6 seconds to continue on fallacies starting now.
I think it's very important to differentiate between a fallacy and a fallacy. But I...
Clement Freud is challenged.
That was repetition of Pharisees.
No, your first time was Pharisees. That was a Pharisee.
That was a Pharisee and the other time was Pharisees.
Deliberate little trap to get you, Mr. Freud. Knowing how quick you are on your miserable little button.
So you've half a second left on fallacies, Derek, starting now.
Garlic keeps away mold.
Well, Derek Nimmo got a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he has leapt forward, but he's still 1 point behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud, who also begins the next round. Clement, the subject is a pistol shot. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
It's jolly difficult talking about a pistol shot for 60 seconds, because as a noise it is staccato and quick. Bang, whang is the sort of noise that you might hear. I've said noise twice.
Should have challenged yourself as you did a number of weeks ago. But Derek got in when you told them. Derek, yes, what is your challenge?
Well, I think it has to be repetition.
Yes, all right. Correct.
Although that might assume that it was a revolver rather than a pistol.
Oh. When he said bang wang, I thought we were back in Hong Kong again.
Derek, you have 46 and a half seconds on a pistol shot starting now.
I was riding across Sahara on a camel when I heard in the distance a pistol shot. I ducked down behind a handily adjacent sand dune, and though I thought at first it was a mirage, it proved to be a great cloud.
Peter Jones,
hesitation.
All right, Peter. 31 seconds for you on a pistol shot, starting now.
The phrase a pistol shot occurs very often in backstage spoonerism stories, so that someone dashes on to the stage and says...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of stage.
Yes, there were a repetition of stage, I'm afraid, Peter. There are 21 seconds left for you, Clement, on a pistol shot starting now.
For this, it is almost essential to have a pistol. Also a trigger, and a bullet comes in very handy. Else, when you press the mechanism, nothing comes out. And then you would have no pistol shot, just a clunk, clipping noise, such as I said before.
Kenneth Williams.
It's all terribly boring, isn't it?
He was sort of juddering to a halt, wasn't he?
Juddering to a halt, I mean, completely.
Yes, he was
very
talking.
Perspicacious of you, Nick. You saw that. I thought I was the only one else that saw it, you know?
I agree with your challenge anyway. So you have 4 seconds on a pistol shot starting now.
A pistol shot rang out at the York Theatre when John Wilkes Booth fired at Lincoln. And...
So Kenneth got that extra point speaking as the whistle went. He's still in third place, but he's creeping up on Derek Nimmer, who's just behind our leader still, Clement Freud. And, Kenneth, you also begin the next round. The subject is stopping hiccups. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
You must alter the rhythms that have been established in the suspiratory diaphragm. So, consequently, you must breathe in a different way. One of the best tips I can give you is to inhale deeply and then recite a long piece, such as the old order changes the place, new and God fulfills himself in many ways, and one good craftsman should corrupt the world, comfort thyself, what comfort is in me? I have lived my life, and that which I have done may he with himself may be but thou.
Peter Jones has challenged.
You'd be better off with the hiccups.
We give Peter Jones a bonus point for his delightful remark and also another point for a correct challenge because he deviated from hiccups onto a recitation of a poem which we couldn't understand. And Peter, you have 23 seconds on stopping hiccups starting now. Yes, Kenneth, you challenge.
How does the subject get taken away from me? What is the ground?
Because you deviated from hiccups, you were just reciting something.
On the contrary, I was describing a remedy, and he...
I know, but your remedy
went... didn't challenge, he said you'd be better off with the hiccups. He didn't express a challenge. He was just making a funny remark, and the audience...
I thought it was very comic.
I don't find it funny. I've come all the way from Great Cornwall, and I'm not here to be made fun of. Do you think I'm some object of ridicule? Do you think that's what I am?
Yes.
Can we put that to the audience?
Well, he obviously has done.
I think his comment also indicated to me that you were deviating because you got away from talking about hiccups.
It's not for you to discuss whether I'm getting away. Getting
away. Jesus, as chairman,
getting away with it. What do you think I am?
Not getting away with it, getting away from the subject.
He was on an ego trip reciting.
Yes, there we are. Deviation. I mean, as chairman, it is my very difficult decision to mind make judgments and decisions. And my decision that you were deviating.
And you just said he was a very good chairman, didn't you?
Okay. Yeah, I did, I know.
But those thoughts in any panelist's mind amongst these four never last for very long, I've noticed. So, Peter, you still have 23 seconds on the subject of stopping hiccups, starting now.
Well, you can try and drink a glass of water when you're standing on your head. But I remember when my little daughter had it, she was so badly affected by these hiccups that I suddenly decided to give her a surprise, and I pretended to have a heart attack. And it was so realistic and so mind-boggling that she was terribly upset. She did have the...
Saved by the whistle. He erred as the whistle went, but he gained a number of that round and has moved forward with alacrity to 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, 2 behind our leader Clement Freud, and 2 ahead of Kenneth Williams. And Derek begins the next round. Subject for you, Derek, is losing one's baggage. You travel a lot. I don't know if this ever happened, but please talk on the subject in just a minute, starting now.
Today, because of aeroplanes, it's frightfully easy to lose one's baggage. You can start off on a 747. You have breakfast in London, lunch in New York, dinner in Los Angeles, all the time.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of 7.
747. Well, listened, a good challenge. You let him go on for a bit before your challenge, which was very fair and reasonable. So, Clement, give you the subject and a point, of course, and tell you there are 48 seconds on losing one's baggage, starting now.
I once went to the check-in counter at British Airways and said I would like this bag to be sent to Gibraltar and that one to Malta. And the lady said, I'm afraid we're unable to do this. And I pointed out that she had done it last time. Losing one's baggage. It's really a very simple thing to do, especially if you consign it to an airline and to the baggage compartment thereof. Somehow there's machinery among the ports of this country and many others as well, which are specially geared to damage luggage as you put them in, scraping off labels, losing...
Derek, Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
I agree, Derek. So there are 9 seconds left for you to talk on losing one's baggage, starting now.
I was travelling on Qantas the other day, and I discovered somebody came up to me and told me that I'd lost my baggage. I was in Club Dots, well, it's not so much, that it was more of a gay bar, really. But anyway, they asked me if I...
Well, alas, as they often say in show business, the clock has beaten us in the sense that we have no more time to play Just a Minute today. So let me give you the final score. Kenneth Williams, giving of his all and his best, excelled himself and once again finished in fourth place. Peter Jones, delighting us as usual with his witticisms and comments, finished once again in third place. But very aptly, just, but only just, out in the lead, we have two joint winners, Derek Nimmo with Clement Freud. Well, we do hope that you've enjoyed listening to this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in at the same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.